Welcome to Listening Well with me, Stephanie, where every week I'm going to share some insights on how to live your best life. This week, I'm talking about how to deal with emotional triggers. Now, emotional triggers are a natural aspect of our human experience, because I think it's safe to say that we all have experienced some form of trauma at some point or another, however serious or seemingly insignificant. For example, those who experience PTSD know that these emotions take power over you no matter how hard you try to resist. It's just something that we all work through. And I believe that it is our job in life to really get to know what triggers we're working with and to cultivate compassion when working through the process of trigger management. Sometimes a trigger can invoke so much emotion that you become completely enveloped by it. You can't help it. You can't create that distance necessary to look at this trigger with curiosity and compassion and acknowledge it as a part of you. Instead, our emotional responses take over our capacity to rationalize why we feel how we feel and let it gently subdue. But there are tools that we can use to not necessarily eliminate these triggers from our life, but instead to manage them in a more effective and healthy way. The first tip I have for you is to feel into your body and name the emotion that arises. This has helped me so much because it takes me out of my emotional entrapment and asks me to invoke a little rationality into my feelings. At the end of the day, it is our responsibility to recognize when these triggers arise and to consciously try to remedy these unconscious responses. There is a whole dictionary on feelings. Life coach Donna Harris has a whole ABC list of feelings. There are thousands of names. Let's take D, for example. Daring, dazed, dazzled, deceitful, despair, depleted, delighted, dejected, displeased, disturbed, distraught, disgusted, dull. It goes on and on. And each letter has its own myriad of words to describe an emotion. But in order to name these emotions, we must get into our bodies first. So as I always suggest, taking that moment to pause is so important to gain some insight into this matter. Physical signs of a trigger can be a pounding heart, a tightness across the chest and belly, cold and sweaty palms, the need to yell or release a sound. I mean, we've all been there in some way, shape, or form. When I am confronted with recurring triggers, especially ones that are familiar and keep showing up, I try my best to put my phone away and place one hand on belly, one hand on heart, and just breathe, knowing that this emotion will pass eventually. I find that the touch you bring to your own body has a soothing effect, like you're coming home again to yourself and aren't trying to seek attention elsewhere or try to explain something. A friend told me before that when she feels overwhelmed in her emotions, she just screams into a pillow and it just makes her feel a little bit better, like she's let off some steam from her boiling pot. If you have released a little physically, you can then explore your emotional landscape. And again, use that dictionary or really inquire as to what emotion it is that you're feeling. Abandoned, unsafe, afraid, jealous, just anything that comes up for you. Because by naming it, you're taking that extra step to create a little distance between you and the trigger, which only allows for more clarity. By looking at this trigger from an arm's length distance, you feel it consume you less, and you look at it in more of a third-party perspective. It really, really helps, especially when it comes to responding from a better place. So feel into your body first. Try to calm down with any breathing exercises that you might find helpful or you know, and then quietly name the emotion that is there. This is a good first step in managing your emotional triggers. My next tip is to invite curiosity into your trigger management process. When we develop the tools to handle our triggers, we can transform a two-part experience, such as trigger, then reaction, into a three-part practice, such as trigger, then reaction, then resource. This takes a bit of practice, but our intentions over time are to go from trigger to resource quicker and faster than we did before, skipping the whole reaction part. One way we can figure out which tool to use when coping with our triggers is to ask ourselves, why? Why is it that I respond this way to this situation? Why can't I be with this situation right now? These are fantastic questions into trying to find the source of a trigger reaction. Maybe a specific event happened in the past, one that you might actually need to unearth because you've swept it under the rug to cope with the situation. Now, I'll be real here. As a yoga and meditation teacher, I was skeptical about immersing myself in the world of therapy. I mean, I should know how to cope with unpleasant situations with the tools that I've got, right? Well, turns out, part of my coping mechanism was to forget and delete the situation out of my head forever, or project it onto my partner, which I'll get to in the next tip. It wasn't until I was taken back to my childhood and asked to really list out the moments in my life where I felt shame, abandoned, where I was betrayed, or where I felt rejected, did I have a big moment of, oh, no wonder I respond to this situation in this way, at this time, in this moment. It was my way of protecting myself. So don't fight your triggers. Don't ignore them. Don't sweep them under the rug. Be curious and think of the deeper reason of why it is that you're feeling triggered, or why a recurring trigger keeps coming up. Pay attention to the patterns of the triggers, the feelings that come when the trigger starts, like that seed of emotion when you start to notice that trigger creep in. Then feel the emotions at the peak of the episode, and then notice over time how you soothe them down. Maybe even take note as to how long this trigger lasts. When we become curious as to why we respond a certain way and really do our work to identify the source of the trigger, it loses its power immensely. And this expedites the process of going from trigger to resource instead of staying in the seemingly never-ending loop of trigger and response. So be curious to know your emotions. Be curious to understand yourself. Because when you do finally become familiar with a feeling tone of an emotion, the ways that you express these emotions in the future will be less tumultuous and out of control. My next thought for you when dealing with emotional triggers is to be aware of projection. The crux of projections are when we make our reaction about somebody else. Like it's someone else's fault for making us feel this way, when really their intentions weren't to do so. We make ourselves the victim in a situation, as opposed to taking ownership of our reactions. And while we stay in this habit of projection, and if we continue victimizing ourselves instead of owning our shit, we stay further away from healing and letting go of the reaction. For example, if you've experienced anger from your parents when you were young, where they yelled and shouted all the time, you might be triggered when someone raises their voice, right? Your body subconsciously fears a repetition of that experience and thus retracts. Or maybe you were betrayed by a partner when you were younger, and unintentionally you go on mistrusting every relationship that comes into your life, or predict that this person is gonna break your heart undoubtedly without any proof. You go on mistreating your partner with this assumption that he will leave you when this isn't actually reality. This is just you projecting. If you're in a tussle with someone or you feel insulted, it helps to repeat out loud to that person the exact words that are triggering, like an echo response. This is a fantastic communication tool to prevent any blow-ups and to invite that pause I often speak about so that we can rationalize the emotions that are being felt and thus avoid feeling victimized. By naming these words or phrases that are triggering, you bring that acknowledgement into your psyche and thus allow for a gateway of exploration into the trigger itself. I'd now like to introduce to you the practice of RAIN for compassion. I'm so excited to share with you this new technique of RAIN for compassion because it's something that has become invaluable to me. It's a tool that I use when I confront a trigger or an unpleasant emotion or thought. During my mindfulness meditation certification program, my teacher, Tara Brock, often brings in this concept of RAIN for self-compassion and uses it all the time. RAIN is an acronym for a mindfulness exercise that follows four steps. The R stands for recognize. Recognize what it is that you feel. This can tie in with the naming of the emotion that I mentioned on my first tip. The A stands for allowing. Allow the experience to be there, just as it is. No resisting or pushing away. The I stands for investigate. This is where the curiosity comes into play. Investigate where this vulnerability lies in your body and do so with interest and care. We end the RAIN practice with N for nurture. And this is where we bring our deepest compassion to these cracks that reside within us, to the broken parts. I love this practice so much because firstly, it does shed light on what it is that we're feeling. So in the R stage, we recognize in any given moment the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that are affecting us. This allows us to wake up from what Tara Brock calls the trance of unworthiness, where our inner critic screams so loudly and we have feelings of shame, fear, anxiety, or maybe even a weight of depression in the body. By simply noting what it is that we feel, we awaken from this trance of unworthiness. Next, we allow the experience to be there with the A of RAIN. We don't try to fix it or avoid anything in this stage. If we are judging ourselves, for example, we let this judgment rest there, as if we're accepting that this is the reality of what's here, no matter how unpleasant. Offering yourself a mental whisper like, yes, you belong too, or it's okay, really allows this acceptance to be there. When we've let this difficult emotion in, we then investigate with care, the eye of RAIN. You might ask yourself, what most needs attention? How am I experiencing this in my body? Where do I feel this emotion in my body? What am I believing about myself or someone else? What does this vulnerable place most need? There's no need to think too much about the trigger in this stage, mentally, that is. Instead, place your attention on the body. So approach your experience in a non-judgmental and kind way, because only by doing so with a little compassion, this will allow us to connect deeper to our hurts, fears, and shame. The last stage, the N of RAIN, asks us to nurture this part of us that needs it. Try to sense what the wounded, frightened, or hurting place inside you most needs, and then offer some gesture of care to help soothe the discomfort. Do you need to give yourself a message of reassurance, of forgiveness, of love? You might mentally whisper to yourself, I'm sorry and I love you, or I love you and it's not your fault. this too shall pass. Just be kind to yourself. If you find it difficult to offer yourself some love in any moment, you might bring to mind someone that embodies wisdom, love, and connection. Maybe a spiritual figure, a family member, or a pet. Imagine that being's love and wisdom flowing into you. This will open the doors of self-compassion, which will only help the process of trigger management. My last thought to take with you when exploring how to deal with emotional triggers is to offer yourself a time out. This seems obvious. In the heat of a moment, space is generally a good move to avoid a nuclear explosion or to escalate things. When we trigger, we lose our objectivity, and this causes us to say things we don't mean or to react in ways we later regret, as I'm sure most of you might know already. I remember that quote, "Speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you will ever regret." But it's hard. It's so hard. Sometimes the emotions take over us like venom and we can't help it. We feel the wind knocked out of our bodies, and then the ego just has to do what it does. So we must step away to calm down so that we can communicate more effectively. If you feel negative emotions, try to practice some positive actions. So sometimes when I'm triggered, I often find that calming yin yoga practice really helps take me out of my turbulent mind and down into my body because I feel more positive after a class. Do whatever it takes to not dwell in the negativity. Just try. If you're feeling lonely, it's probably not beneficial to your well-being to lock yourself up in a room and disengage from society. But first, we must take the time to inquire about your emotions. Awareness and curiosity of your thoughts and actions is the first step into overcoming these trappings of our triggers. But just know that you are not alone. We all experience this in one way or another. If a particular trauma trigger is unmanageable, there is always support for you. Do yourself a favor and carve out time to seek professional help. But at the end of the day, you aren't alone, and we're all in this together. Thanks for listening well. The link to our website is in our show notes, and I'll be back to inspire you to live your best life.